Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk football with the professor, John Clayton. If you guys have questions for John, you know what to do. Text those questions in to 421-3776. That's 421-ESPN. We'll get to your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Two and five. 0-3 at home since Dave Wyman was a star middle linebacker for this team in 1992. Can you believe that?
I still can't believe the 92 season, how bad it was. It was great on defense, but it was, the third worst offense in the history of the league. But, yeah.
Something like that.
Well, so what do you call this team? What are you making of what we're seeing here?
I mean, obviously it's closer, but, again, not close enough to get the victories. I mean, there was enough stuff going on. The defense, I thought, was much improved. The secondary play was much improved. They were able to get some pressure on the quarterback. Obviously, stopping Alvin Kamara is almost an impossible task. But in the end, what you saw was that the offense just didn't have it. I mean, he had the 84-yard touchdown pass to DK Metcalf. And after that, what was it, a net?
83 yards passing.
Yeah, 83 yards passing, but it's like, it was a net 38 or something like that, because you take the 5 sacks,
right.
Take away that. And so that wasn't there. They only had 90 yards rushing and 12 of those on 3 carries by Geno Smith. It was bad.
Yeah, and they win that game with Russ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but what do you make of this New Orleans Saint game or a team? Because, they have the fluky win over Green Bay, and that's, by the way, Green Bay's only loss. Then they beat the Patriots pretty good. I mean,
right.
That's always a good thing. And that was on the road. They win on the road against Washington. I mean, how good do you think is this New Orleans team?
Average. I mean, maybe a little above average because of the defense. But offensively, it's got one player. It's got Alvin Kamara right now. Now, when Michael Thomas comes back, that'll make things better. But, I mean, you saw, for example, they got Daquan Smith. Comes off the injured list, and he was at least the most accomplished wide receiver they had, because at least last year he had 34 passes that he caught. But in the end, what ends up happening is that he lines up wrong. Jameis Winston gets mad at him, points him in the right direction, and they start screaming at each other once they get to the sidelines. And, of course, he didn't play all that much because he was making too many mental mistakes. And, again, this pretty much being the worst wide receiving core in football. I mean, you knew they weren't going to be able to pass the ball very well, but, they're average. I mean, again, defense carries them right now.
So, John, offensively, this seems to be a problem now, because I agree with you. They definitely improved defensively last night. Not perfect, and you're never perfect, but offensively, this is rough to watch. I mean, they could not get anything going with the running game, yet they stuck to it. They kept going and going and going, and it just wasn't happening. And I'm thinking, when Shane Waldron was hired, we were all sitting here going, wow, we had visions of that Rams offense and the, pre-snap motion, and it's going to look wide open. And I understand you've got a backup in there in Geno, but it didn't look like that with Russ there either. So I'm just wondering what your level of expectation was with the offense versus what we've seen.
I think the expectation was fine and still is. I think that Shane's done a good job. The problem is Geno Smith didn't do a good job yesterday. I mean, you saw how many times he rolled out to the right and either nothing was there, he had to throw it away, or he makes the throw and misconnects on everything. I mean, he was only able to get, 3 passes to DK Metcalf and 2 to Tyler Lockett. And that's an issue. But again, how much of that is what the what they're doing as far as the defense, and what they were doing as far as Geno Smith inability to get anything going with the passing game?
Hey, John, you mentioned DK, and you see him getting into those little scraps and everything. I guess I kind of worry that he might be getting the opponents fired up, because there was a pretty interesting, I don't know if we have the sound. Have you heard that, John?
Or, no, I have not.
So Cam Hayward kind of went after
Cam Jordan.
I'm sorry, Cam Jordan went after him a little
bit. I think that our defense played with a lot of speed and intensity and the right mindset the entire game, albeit that one play explosive, the one explosive that they had from the King Orc Smurf. Mr. Blue Hair. I'm spazzing on his name. DK Metcalf. Ooh, sorry.
The King Orc Smurf.
And then he purposely calls him Blair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it just sounded like maybe he's kind of galvanizing the opponents a little bit with that stuff. What do you think of his antics? I mean, he's not getting, well, he got one penalty this year, right?
Right.
Against Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. But other than that, but I don't know. What's your take?
I mean, again, it's like, he pushes it to the limit. There's no doubt about it. But certainly in the early part of the game, he got into the head of Marcus Lattimore because, I mean, you can see that Lattimore had the two personal fouls, two penalties against him for pushing and slapping him up in the head and all that, all those different things. But then I think Lattimore kind of recovered and got back and played football and kept him from catching the football. So it's like, because Lattimore, say what you want, is, you know, he's aggressive too, but he's also one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and he showed why last night. And so, I think the DK has to start watching because all he's going to do is gain a bad reputation around the league and have everybody come after him.
Well, and then that reputation sometimes it gets to the officials. Mm-hmm. And you know, opponents will come up and go, hey, watch this guy. You know, he's an instigator. He's been doing this. I mean, that definitely happens. And you know that coaches go to the officials before the games and say, hey, watch out for this and watch out for that. Mm-hmm. They're doing this and that. So,
again, if you guys have questions for John, 206-421-3776. That's 421-ESPN. It's powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. The 509 asking, Professor, which is more likely to happen? LJ Collier gets traded or Kyle Fuller gets benched for Ethan Posick?
I think LJ Collier possibly getting traded. I have to look at the injury list from this week to see how it goes as far as what defensive tackles and defensive ends got hurt. But again, you're seeing a lot of that. And so I think that he can do it. And, you know, Kyle Fuller is still out there. I don't know if they're ready to put Ethan Posick back in. You know, certainly I don't think they're going to do it before the bye week, and there's no need to do it against Jacksonville because they're so pathetic. So it's like
I don't know, John. I wouldn't say that right now. Do you just feel like this is one of those games that shouldn't even be played? It's a no-brainer. The Seahawks will win.
Yes. Yes.
Mm, okay.
What is it you see about Jacksonville that you like?
Is it you see about the Seahawks that you like?
They're better than Jacksonville.
We're setting the bar kind of low, aren't we?
No.
We're talking about a one-win team versus a two-win team?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But again, Jacksonville's defense may be the least talented in football. I mean, what is it? They, you know, and again, it just shows you Urban Meyer has no idea what he's doing. And so, for example, you know, they have a draft, and here's a team that's coming off a one-win season last year, right? And so you figure, oh, let's get a lot of young players, get some draft choices and all that stuff. If I'm not mistaken, because I haven't started to review Jack, I mean, I started to review him a little bit, but it's like, I think they only have one player that was drafted, and it's a defensive player that's actually got playing time this year. Everybody else doesn't have any playing time. How can you be the worst team in football or one of the worst teams, and you can't even get your rookies on the field because they're just not that good? That's bad.
By the way, I'm told via the text line here that Cam Jordan was saying blue hair, not Blair.
Oh, okay.
Blue hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
we all see it, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. We all see it. Hey, John, the Patriots, we didn't get a chance to talk to you yesterday because we didn't have a show. The Patriots put a whooping on the Jets, and Mac Jones, pretty good day. He was about 66%, two touchdowns, no interceptions. As far as the rookie quarterbacks go, I know Zach Wilson got hurt, you know, but is Mac Jones, he's got to be at least one or two as far as the rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, actually, even though Trevor Lawrence has had two or three good games in a row, I have to give the edge to Mac Jones because what you're looking at is that, I mean, coming into the week, he was like over 70% completions. He's got a decent number of, 12 touchdown passes. So he's done a really good job. And so because of that, I think that, you know, he has the edge. Now, is it turning the corner for the team? Not necessarily, because they're a losing team right now and probably going to end up with like an 8-9 season. And so, but again, the fact that he's out there doing what he can do is very, very encouraging. And to be able to think that you're down there with the 15th pick, right? You didn't trade up to get him. You get him with the 15th pick. Justin Fields ended up going with that trade up with Chicago at 11, and he's been sacked 22 times with that bad offensive line, and he didn't even start the season as a starter.
Yeah, it's brutal. Why wouldn't they put Foles in there? Why wouldn't they put is Dalton healthy? I don't understand why they're just letting this kid wear it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, does Matt Nagy know what he's doing?
I'd assume he does. I mean, it just
let's put it this way: you're not in agreement with a lot of people in Chicago.
Who's not? I'm not.
Yeah.
They all want to keep Fields in there or what?
No, they just
think Matt Nagy knows what he's doing.
No, and of course now he's not going to be probably able to coach this week because he's got COVID-19. I mean, Allen Robinson, their best offensive player, took a shot and said, "Hey, I'm not on the same page with Justin Fields. Just not on the same page." And it kind of exposed Matt Nagy a little bit in doing so, the way that he phrased it. So yeah, it's not a very good situation. And if they can continue to lose, you can see who's going to be losing their job. It's not going to be Justin Fields. It's not going to be Allen Robinson. It's going to be Matt Nagy.
It feels like it should be Fields for his own sake. I don't know the benefit of having him go through this. I mean, you could break the guy. I mean, he might he's taking a beating out there. He's being sacked, as you said, 22 times. He's got 2 touchdowns, 6 picks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's in way over his head. Why not? You've got Nick Foles. Is Dalton healthy?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So you've got options. I just, I don't know. I don't get the philosophy there.
But I was saying that the entire preseason, that to put him behind that offensive line is too dangerous and it's going to cause too many problems. And that's exactly what ends up happening. And what, he's been able to avoid so far, even though I think he's had a knee injury and a couple leg injuries, things like that, is that he's not suffered a serious injury, but you can see it coming.
John, early results in the MVP race. It's got to be Derrick Henry. He threw a touchdown pass the other day, and I'm just looking at his numbers. This is his second lowest output against Kansas City, who stinks, by the way. But 86 yards he got the other day, but he's had 143, 130, 157. He's gone over 100.
Yeah.
5 of the 7 games. So, yeah, and just that, and also just Kansas City. Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Patrick Mahomes didn't even throw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, but is it a running back-driven league or a quarterback-driven league?
It's quarterback. But,
okay.
And I know it makes him a little bit more of an outside chance, but I don't know, man. If he continues the way he does and they keep winning, I think they've got a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
maybe not on defense.
Yeah, their personnel, but yeah, they had a player. Is it Autry that had like 3 or 4 sacks? So yeah, they've got some no names there, but they're playing together.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they had a couple of real good games back to back here, beating Buffalo and beating Kansas City, no doubt. But you're not totally sold because again, so much of the fact that they're in a division that's so right now easy to win because, I mean, you got, what, Indianapolis down, Houston and Jacksonville are terrible. And so, I know what I did for the Washington Post, my MVP voting, I actually had Derrick Henry 11th because I had 10 quarterbacks ahead of him. Because how can you not do Kyler Murray, number one? How can you not? How can you not have Tom Brady, number two? How can you not have Josh Allen, number three? And how can you not have Lamar Jackson number 4 or even higher than that?
Well, if he keeps running for like 150 yards,
yeah, he's 8 winning, something right now. He's going to have 1,000 yards next week.
Yeah, 869 yards already. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Hey, John, what, and Dave touched on this, the Chiefs stink right now.
Yeah.
Mahomes is tied for the league lead in interceptions with a rookie, Zach Wilson, that we just talked about.
Yeah.
9 picks on the year. What is happening out there? Is it injuries? I haven't paid a ton of attention to their injury situation, but what is going on in Kansas City?
Well, they've totally revamped their offensive line. That, I think, certainly is catching up to them. That Mahomes is making uncharacteristic mistakes, particularly when he rolls out of the pocket or tries to do some different things. You know they don't have a running game. Edward Clyde Helaire is on the injured reserve list. And so it's Mahomes or nothing. And right now he's making mistakes, and so it's turning into nothing.
Big upset over the weekend. Probably the biggest upset would be the Bengals going into the Ravens. That was a pretty good performance, man. I mean, that was, it's not like they squeaked by 41-17.
How about Jamar Chase?
Oh, jeez. God.
You talk about vindication. I mean, the Bengals were roundly criticized for not taking Penei Sewell. And, they take his Joe Burrow's LSU teammate and he has just lit it up.
Well, in fact, I mean, historically lit it up. Because what's he have? 764 receiving yards in seven games. That's the most of any first-year receiver in the first seven games of any career. I mean, so he's a record setter. And so, I mean, think about this. I mean, it's seven games, and he's got 764. What's he going to do? Have 150 catches and over 1,500 yards receiving? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, and you look at his average in that game was 25 yards a catch.
Yeah, and for the season, I think he's averaging 21.2.
21.5. Don't cheat him, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. 21.5.
That's amazing.
That.
Can you believe that? No.
21.5. He's got 35 catches, 754 yards, 6 touchdowns, 21.5 yards per catch average.
Incredible.
The GM for Cincinnati needs to go out to the middle of the field like Jerry DePoto and give the double birds and to everybody who criticized me for taking him.
Okay, so who owns that team?
Who owns the Cincinnati
Bengals?
The Browns family. Mike Brown. Yeah. It's like, guess what team doesn't have a GM?
Oh.
They don't have a GM.
I was going to say the Patriots?
No. Bill Belichick's a GM, but they don't have a GM. Now, Duke Tobin is their main personnel guy, but he doesn't even have the title. And, of course, that's Bill Tobin's son, but he doesn't even have the title of GM.
So does he have final say?
No.
Who does?
Mike Brown.
Mike Brown does. Mm. And he decided...
No.
Yeah, I'm going to go get Joe Burrow's best buddy from college.
No, what ends up happening, in fact, I should have... I'm going to probably call them... I don't know, I should call them tomorrow, see if I can set something up for a Washington Post story. But, it's like... Yeah, because I remember the last time I talked to Duke Tobin and all that stuff. One of the things that he does such a good job of doing, and of course, being a second generation general manager who's not necessarily a general manager, he tries to get a consensus. And so what he does, he'll go to the coaches and say, okay, what do you think about this? And once everybody's on the same page, then he'll make the move. And so he's done such a great job. I mean, they were able to get a great free agent signing in Trey Hendrickson. You know, one of the things that they're starting to do now is against Baltimore, they had more zero blitzes than I think any team in football this year, because they had zero blitzes like crazy, where you bring the whole house and all those different things. And it certainly affected Lamar Jackson to a point where he had his worst game and the Ravens had their worst game.
John, how good is this Titans team? They've got a couple of back-to-back impressive wins, and maybe the Chiefs win isn't as impressive because we're figuring out they're not very good for whatever reason right now. But, Tannehill just does what he's very efficient, 21 of 27, 270 yards, a touchdown. Derrick Henry, a modest day for him, 86 yards rushing, but he throws a touchdown pass in this one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just finding ways to get it done, and 5-2, here they are.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, the big thing is their defense still isn't all that good. Because again, they're still one of the worst teams in football in stopping third down conversions. They're still inconsistent stopping the run. And I find that baffling, because here you have a defensive coach in Mike Vrabel who you think, okay, that's all going to work out. But that's been a struggle, but not in the last couple of weeks. I mean, they've done a good job in the last couple of weeks, at least slowing down Josh Allen, completely baffling Patrick Mahomes and all that stuff. But again, they're a good team, but they're not, I think, at that level where, even though they've beaten Baltimore and teams like that, is that they're not at that top level yet, but they're somewhere in the top five. Because again, when you look at it, there's seven winning teams in the AFC, and so they're probably like about the fourth or fifth seed.
What do you make of the Panthers, man? They start off 3-0. Now, they played the Jets.
Yeah,
they played the Jets. They played the Saints, who they whooped pretty good. And then they played Houston. So, I mean, not very impressive, but they've also lost to a couple of 2-5 teams. They lost to both the Giants and the Eagles.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
They're not doing well at all. I mean, certainly not having Christian McCaffrey is hurt, because he's the face of the team. He's the most important player on the team. Sam Darnold has gone horrible. What is it, in his last four games he's lost, or three or four games that he's lost? He's pretty much on the verge of losing his starting job. That's how bad it is, to a point now where David Tepper, who grew up in a ghetto 6 miles away from where I grew up, and he owns the team, and he's wanted Deshaun Watson all along. And now with Darnold being as bad as he's been, I think they're in the Darnold sweepstakes, but I don't think they have enough as far as leverage, as far as draft choices and players, to be able to get him. That's why if there's going to be a Deshaun Watson trade, it's going to be to Miami.
his and we were seeing those reports over the weekend that he's expanded the list of teams he would go to. They didn't specify, but people speculating Carolina being one of them.
Yeah, well, Carolina's one of them.
So what has the asking price changed, do you think, at all from Houston's perspective? Or what do you think it's going to take to get, regardless of where he lands, what kind of deal?
It has to, because they're not going to get three number ones and two number twos. That's not going to happen. So if they want to make a trade, they have to make an adjustment. How they make that adjustment, I don't know. The Dolphins have the draft choices, but right now the Panthers do not. Because remember, the Panthers have been very active this offseason with trying to get talent and trading away draft choices to get players and things of that nature. So I think it's going to be Miami or bust.
John, we appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Well, was there one play that changed the course of the game last night? We're going to dive into that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
So looking at this game last night, Dave, was there, in your opinion, was there a specific play that changed the fortunes of the team? Is there a couple that stood out? Because there's a couple here we could talk about, and one of them, you know, there were a lot of penalties called, and we saw the one on Gerald Everett, which is harmless and dumb as I think it is. Those are the rules, the taunting, things like that. And he remembered the catch, and he kind of threw the ball to the kind of the sideline. They call him for that penalty, and it ends up being costly.
At least that one, he threw the football at him. Like, that was...
He kind of did.
Yeah, soft. But the words are the worst. Like, you hurt somebody's feelings. I mean, I get it, throwing an object at somebody, okay. You know, but just using your words or, you know, celebrating in front of them.
Yeah.
They're trying to
legislate out the passion of the game, the emotion of the game. And Pete talked about the penalties. He said he's, you know, getting frustrated with all of these.
Really frustrating that we're not cleaning it up. We had a great sequence at the end of the game. We sacked the guy to give the ball back to the offense, but you know, we hit him late, and so that's, you know, I haven't seen the play yet, so I don't know what it looks like, but that's the play that you don't do. You make the proper decision to not put yourself in that situation. We get off the field, everybody's going crazy, and they're kicking the ball to the 35 or something instead of, you know, getting a whole new start that would look like a 25-yard penalty, you know, when they march the thing off. So you have to make those choices, and the guys have to be clear thinking and not put us in harm's way.
And then one more from Pete talking about the one we were just talking about, Gerald Everett's penalty.
Gerald had his, you know, his taunting thing over there that we can't, this is the new game, you know, this is, you can't do anything aimed at another player. And I didn't see that one either, but I was told, you know, what happened. And that kind of stuff is going to lose games for you.
Yeah, he's right, as much as I don't agree with him, and I think they're soft and just, you know, kind of lame and sucking the fun out of the game and the emotion. You go in knowing that. You go in knowing, all right, this is how it's called. Whether we love it or hate it, these are the rules. This is how they're enforced. This is how they interpret them. So it's up to you. As much as I may sit there and go, that is so dumb. That is so dumb. It is the rule. It is the penalty.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they're calling it.
Well, and yeah, and then same thing with the Blair hit. I mean, you know, he goes in there. And look, I always say this, unless your head is up your tailpipe, it's about 8 inches from your shoulder. So you're going in to hit with your shoulder there. But, I mean, I guess you just have to be less aggressive there. I mean, and try telling Marquise Blair that. So, you know, that both of those are, I don't get those kinds of rules. I mean, it's meant to be a physical game. I get that they're trying to protect the quarterbacks, but not the backups or Jameis Winston. Come on, Jameis Winston is fair game.
He's a backup. He's a glorified backup.
Mahomes, Jackson, Brady, yeah, protect them. Rodgers,
yeah,
not so
much
him.
Wilson,
yeah, but I hate when they show that play in slow motion, and especially I don't know what Greasy said during the broadcast, but he's an ex quarterback and he's always like, oh, you can't do that. That's a bad play. You're basically describes you as a criminal. When, you know, it's just everything happens so quickly out there. But, I mean, that was, it was just one of those things where that was a big play. I mean, they had that. they had Al Woods jumping off sides, and there was, what else, Geno getting sacked out of, you know, out of territory, and then, you know, at the end of the game getting sacked. And that's on the postgame show. Aaron Levine brought that up, like the situational awareness was not there. And, you know, the sad thing is Al Woods was like a hero in that game, but he caused them to take a timeout because he wasn't either on or off the field,
mm-hmm.
or off the field. Then he ran on the field late and was offsides.
Yep.
And then he jumped offsides on the field goal. So
it was a rough day.
Yeah, it was a tough. I felt really bad for Al. Al works his tail off, man, and he was having a really good game. But those are the kinds of things, you can't make those mistakes. That's, you know, in there somewhere in those penalties, whatever, is a win that got taken away because of one or maybe two of those. So, yeah, who knows? They're going to get the ball back on that sack of Bobby Wagner. And, you know, and Blair comes in and, you know, I mean, it's like asking a dog to not chase the mailman. I mean, he was going to come in and hit him. He was going to take his aggressions out. That's just who he is. The other thing, you know, then he ends up getting hurt with the patellar tendon thing. So that's
Blair,
yeah.
It's his kneecap, isn't it? Didn't they say he's got a...
It said patellar, so, I mean, that's the...
I thought Pete said this morning, like, a chipped kneecap or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
well,
I don't know if we've got that cut.
Well, the patellar tendon goes right over your kneecap, so...
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Not good.
But, yeah, I mean, you made a bunch of mistakes there. You made a bunch of mistakes there that you can't. It's the reason why you lost 13-10. You got a backup quarterback in there. And then, you know, you've got a defense that's still kind of trying to find its way. You can't make those huge mistakes in huge situations like that. And they all were.
425 says, eighth grade Swickley, Dave.
Thank you, Chuck Knox. How's he spell Swickley?
S-W-I-C-K-L-E-Y.
It's S-E-W-I-C-K-L-E-Y.
Oh.
Swickley.
I wouldn't have gotten that either.
I think that's...
I don't blame the text.
I think that's five ghettos down from where Clayton grew up.
Anyway, I lost my train of thought here. As far as the way the games are called, though, and we're getting texts about that, 253, NFL treats the game like they're 8-year-olds, so bleeping lame. I don't disagree with that. I think some of these calls and the mandate, if you will, to legislate out the emotion of the game, I think it's lame, too. I agree. But We've talked about this when it comes to COVID rules or rules about this or rules about that. There are a million rules in our everyday life. I sit there and go, that is dumb. Why is that a rule? This is, you know it, though. So there's really not an excuse. You know they're going to call this stuff. You know how it goes. You don't have to agree with it. You just have to acknowledge it. You have to understand it exists. Nobody's saying, hey, you need to just run along and go, this is a great rule. I love that they're calling the game this way. No, but you got to follow them if you're going to play the game. You got to understand, if you don't, you may think it's just a nothing thing and I just handed the ball to him or I tossed the ball 15 yards. You can shake your head all you want. You're going to get popped for it every time.
Do you ever think about coaching in that situation? Because, you know, I said this earlier and I'm probably wrong on this. With Geno Smith, when he ran and TJ Watt stripped him. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, he had so much to think about and so many things that was pretty far down on the list, but ball security should always be very high.
Yeah, Pete made it clear, like, he was terrible. That was terrible.
Yeah, so on your list, I was just kind of sympathetic for him because, like, he'd done so many good things, and, you know, here he is on the road in a Sunday night game and everything. But the taunting thing, I mean, is that coaching? Because that should be pretty high on your – it should be, you know, emblazed into your brain.
You're 1,000% right.
Yeah.
We don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. Maybe Pete and Ken and everybody, Waldron, they're all just hammering that home. Guys, you don't, again, nobody's asking you to say it's a great rule or think it's awesome. You can hate it. You can shake your head and think it's dumb like we all do. But it is the rule that's in place. And if you violate it, you're costing us 15.
Well, and
that's all that should have to be said.
Yeah. And the thing about that one was, I get it when, like, you want to celebrate and it's a difference of me looking right at you or just looking a little bit to your left.
Yeah.
But this one was, he threw the ball. I mean, did that hurt him or hurt his feelings?
No, it's dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb, but still, that one was more blatant.
Yeah, I mean, he earned it, you know, based on how they call the game. I'm not complaining, oh, come on, ref. You know, that's how they call it. I don't agree with it, but I understand that's how they call the games. It is, that's the reality of the situation. Yeah. Love it or hate it, that's the reality. You have to learn how to function within those rules.
Yeah,
that's
it. And I got to imagine that Pete, like, gets the team together and says, you know, and I'm sure he's done this already, like, guys, we can't do this. We can't do this. It's taken away, you know, yardage and huge plays. Is it a 15-yard penalty?
Yes.
The taunting thing?
My yeah.
God. It's so punitive.
It's very punitive.
I mean, and so I would just think that, like, look, guys, we just cannot do that. We're going to emphasize this. I don't care what. And, you know, when it continues to happen, it's got to be incredibly frustrating. But, I mean, I don't know. Do you blame the coaches or do you blame the players?
I blame the coaches without really knowing how hard they're emphasizing it.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, they only have so much control. They can beat them over the head with it pregame, all during the week, film study, wherever they get an opportunity. But maybe somebody gets caught up in the emotion of that moment, like Everett, and tosses the ball or they, you know, whatever. They say something in the heat of the moment. I mean, how much coaching can you do at that point? Is it just a matter of, all right, next time it happens, anybody violates this, we're going to just sit you down. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, or, you know, fine you or whatever.
Yeah, maybe there's a fine. Yeah. I mean, because we don't know how much they're emphasizing that behind the scenes. I have to assume Pete sounds very irritated. If he hasn't been emphasizing it, I'm going to guess it's going to be a big point of emphasis this week.
Yeah.
So there we go. All right. Is Mike Tomlin leaving the Steelers for USC? Well, let you hear what he has to say about that when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
Now, a lot of coaches dance around questions about going to another head coaching job. They might say, yeah, we're focused on the week ahead. I'm just focused on my situation here. Not Mike Tomlin. He did not do anything of that sort.
Guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. All right. Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
I love Mike Tomlin. I am in the bag for Mike Tomlin. I hate the Steelers. I love Mike Tomlin. And that's how you deny. That's how you come out. Often coaches will be asked that same question about, you know, rumor, hey, Pete, heard you're a candidate for USC, and they'll say, hey, I'm happy where I'm at, and they'll kind of leave it there, which kind of leaves the door open, like, hey, right now I got a job, I like where I'm at. It's not really, that's a defiant, a booster doesn't have a blank check big enough.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I loved it.
Well, and he's so direct, and, you know, yeah. It's also the look, you know,
yeah.
The look from him, but Why did his name get thrown in there in the first place?
I saw it up on the screen as we were doing the show. I saw it on ESPN that he was supposedly rumored to be a candidate for USC and LSU.
Who started the rumor?
So Carson Palmer yesterday with Dan Patrick inadvertently said Mike Tomlin. And I guess he is kind of involved in the search, and he wasn't supposed to say that. He had a face like, oh, people don't know that that's an option.
Well,
so
they
that
probably
picked up steam yesterday.
They also linked him to LSU as well.
Oh, geez.
So,
well, they probably like put like their dream list together.
Yeah.
Like, who would be the greatest of all time? You know, is it Newt Rockne and Bill Walsh and, you know,
Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's how you shut it down. That's really well done. Love it.
Sweeping the dial.
I know Dave didn't get a chance to see the Manning cast last night. You were a little busy, but Marshawn Lynch was on in the first quarter, and he was very confused by the Seahawks play that ended the first quarter, or, well, the first quarter ended before they got off a play.
Protect that football, right, Marshawn? That's the key.
Protect that ball. Protect it. Oh, what the
I don't think, I don't think they had a play.
That's now the second time that Peyton Manning has come back from a commercial break apologizing to the viewers about language or thing. You know, the first one was the double birds that he egged Eli to do the first time where he came back from the break. Like, hey, sorry about that. We did this thing. And then they came back and he was like, hey, we apologize for the language.
No, but did they not bleep it on the broadcast?
I don't think
no,
so.
They did not bleep it on
they
the broadcast.
They didn't get it. And that was the second one because I think he threw out the S-bomb too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if that was.
Yeah. Yeah. So he threw out a couple. Well, he did tell him as he came on that he had 3 shots of Hennessy before the show as opposed to the normal 1.5 shots he would have before games.
Oh, my God. So what you're saying, in other words, he's basically like having Dave Craig on our show.
Yeah, just you got your finger by the dumb button. Like,
no awareness about what you can and cannot say on the radio.
And you're nervous. Like, is it? Oh, boy. Here it comes. Get ready.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, this was also on the Manning cast last night. Tom Brady was on with Peyton and Eli. And I don't know if you're going to like him as much anymore, Dave, after hearing what he had to say about defensive players.
And the defense, would you give them any credit for being, you know, smart enough to figure that out, you know, jumping? No, I wouldn't. I mean, believe me. Have you ever been to some of those defensive meeting rooms? I mean, you wonder why they play defense. And after about 2 minutes, you go, yep, they can never be an offensive player. So, you know, defense is kind of like a dog chasing a car. You know, just get the guy with the ball. So. You know, obviously we had a lot of great defensive players.
Bunch of simpletons, Dave. Just point and chase.
Here's how much I love Tom Brady. That doesn't even bother me. I think it's funny, actually. I think it's kind of funny. So we're reactors, right?
Yeah.
We react to what they do. But, yeah, that's pretty funny. I know he's just kind of poking a bear there.
Yeah.
All of his defensive buddies.
That's a great – I love the Manning cast. I think it's great. I love – Peyton Manning is the star of it. He helps Eli become more funny, but he's just he was I like him demonstrating how he did the silent count in stadiums that were loud, and he talked about how, you know, Jeff Saturday would be there and he'd tap him once on the butt, you know, and then they'd look around and he'd tap him again. He goes, Jeff, he just liked me spanking him all day. He's just got such a great sense of humor. It's perfect. It's a really, unless you want to hear it, I was going back and forth like Schlereth, where I was like, there'd be a penalty called. They're just talking. They're just two guys just yakking about the game and everything. So you're not hearing, wait, what was that penalty? So I'd go back to the regular broadcast. But just the conversation is great. It's a really fun broadcast.
Yeah. Well, and I think you and I agree the funniest thing that's been said is when Eli told Peyton, you should have heard what they were saying about mom.
So good. Talk about a 9-year-old giving him double birds and talking about his mom. All right. Coming up, it is Tuesday, which means we'll get an abbreviated edition of El Hombre. We're going to turn you over to Game 1 of the World Series immediately following that. But Michael Bradley comes up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.